now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, has been a man of mystery for the past few nights. As soon as he finishes dinner, he locks himself in his makeshift laboratory and allows nobody to enter. As the scene opens, we find him entering his little room in the basement. Listen.
That's that. Guess that'll keep those busybodies out.
How, Daddy?
Snooks, how did you get here? I thought you were still in the dining room.
Did you?
Yes. Now, I want to know how you got in here.
I made myself into a spitball and I rolled through the keyhole.
Oh, you did, eh?
Ain't I funny?
Very funny. Well, roll right out again.
No, I want to stay here with you, Daddy.
Well, all right, but if I let you stay here, you must promise not to bother me, even for a second. Promise?
Promise.
And no matter what you see in this room tonight, I want you to be as silent as a tomb.
Silent as a tomb.
Snooks, you see that big thing in the corner, covered with a sheet?
Mm-hmm. What is it?
I'm building a robot.
Huh?
I'm building a robot.
Who's gonna row it, Daddy?
Not a rowboat, a robot. It's a mechanical man that talks like a human being, moves like a human being, but looks like a jumbled mess and has no brains. Now, do you know what it is?
Uh-huh. Uncle Louie.
No.
Although the stage and screen hit Funny Girl is inspired by the life of singer-actress Fanny Bryce, the plot is mostly fiction, with the occasional fact thrown in. Both the play and the movie were produced by Fanny Bryce's son-in-law, Ray Stark, who had the unenviable task of appeasing Fanny's surviving family and associates, including Nick Arnstein. With Nick only too eager to initiate a lawsuit, Stark had to reshape history. And as Nick's character was fictionalized, other aspects of the story had to change too. Who was Fanny Bryce? Welcome to Dead Wax 78. It's your host, Sean. Yeah, and we're going to talk about all these old-time talented people, and sometimes what we know about them is quite different than the truth. This episode, we're going to talk about Fanny Bryce. Fanny Borock, born October 29th, 1891, known professionally as Fanny Bryce, was an American comedian, an illustrated song model, singer, and actress who made many stage, radio, and film appearances. She is known as the creator and star of the top-rated radio comedy series, The Baby Snooks Show. Her life story was loosely adapted into a stage musical called Funny Girl. Bryce was famously portrayed by Barbara Streisand in both the original Broadway production of the musical and its 1968 film adaptation. Remember, Ray Stark's goal was not to teach a history lesson, but to create great entertainment. And he succeeded. Fanny was born in Manhattan, the third child of Rose, a Jewish-Hungarian woman who immigrated to the U.S. at age 10, and an Alsatian immigrant, Charles Borak. The Boraks were saloon owners and had four children, Philip, Carrie, Fania, and Louis. Under the name Lou Bryce, her younger brother also became an entertainer. So in 1908, Bryce dropped out of school to work in a burlesque revue, The Girls from Happyland, starring a sliding Billy Watson. 2 years later, she began her association with the Florence Ziegfeld, headlining his Ziegfeld Follies in 1910 and 1911. She was hired again in 1921 and performed in the Follies into the 1930s. But in the 1921 Follies, she was featured singing My Man, which became both a big hit and her signature song. She made a popular recording of it for the Victor Talking Machine Company. The second song most associated with Bryce is A Second Hand Rose, which she also introduced in the Ziegfeld Follies in 1921. She recorded nearly two dozen record sides for Victor, and also cut several for Columbia Records. She is posthumously the recipient of a Grammy Hall of Fame Award for her 1921 recording, My Man. Here's side one, My Man, on Victor 1921. Bryce's first radio show was the Philco Hour in February 1930. Bryce's first regular radio show was probably the Chase and Sanborn Hour, a 30-minute program which ran on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. in 1933. From the 1930s until her death in 1951, Fanny made a radio presence as a bratty toddler named Snooks, a role she premiered in the Folly skit co-written by playwright Moss Hart. Baby Snooks premiered in the Ziegfeld Follies of the Air in February 1936 on CBS, with Alan Reed playing Lancelot Higgins, her beleaguered daddy. Bryce moved to NBC in 1937, performing the Snooks routine as part of the Good News Show, then back to CBS on the Maxwell House Coffee Time, with the half hour divided between the Snooks sketches and actor Frank Morgan. By September 1944, Bryce's sketch writers, Philip Rapp and David Friedman, brought in Arthur Stander and Everett Freeman. They developed a half-hour comedy program. The program launched on CBS in 1944 and it moved to NBC in 1948. Everett Freeman was the producer. The show was the post-Toasties time. The show was renamed the Baby Snook Show. Hanley Stafford played the daddy, with Fanny Bryce being the main character, the Baby Snooks. Bryce had a short-lived marriage in her late teens to a barber, Frank White, whom she met in 1910 in the Springfield, Massachusetts, when she was touring in College Girl. The marriage lasted just 3 years, and she brought suit for divorce in 1913. Here's side two, Secondhand Rose on Victor 1921. Second husband was professional gambler Nick Arnstein. Before their marriage, Arnstein served 14 months in Sing Sing for wiretapping. Bryce visited him in prison every week, and in 1918 they were married after living together for 6 years. When in 1924 Arnstein was charged in a Wall Street bond theft, Bryce insisted on his innocence and funded his legal defense at great expense. Arnstein was convicted and sentenced to the federal penitentiary at Leavenworth, where he served 3 years. Released in 1927, Arnstein disappeared from Bryce's and his children's lives. Bryce divorced him on September 17, 1927, soon after his release. They had had two children, Francis, who married film producer Ray Stark, remember him, and William, who became an artist using his mother's surname. Ray Stark later went on to produce a stage musical, Funny Girl, loosely based on the life of Fanny. Stark also produced a follow-up film, Funny Lady. Now, here's some of the fiction of Funny Girl. So, Fanny's mother, Rose, spent years managing those saloons while her husband played cards and drank heavily. Rose finally got a legal separation, sold off the saloons, and took the kids to Brooklyn, where she made a living buying and selling real estate. While Fanny struggled towards fame, her family lived in a series of handsome apartments and townhouses, including one on Manhattan's swanky Beacon Place. Nothing like the lower class Henry Street life that's seen in the musical. Fanny made her amateur debut as a solo singer at Frank Keeney's popular Brooklyn Vaudeville Theater. She was never part of the chorus on roller skates or otherwise. Fanny was fired from the chorus by Broadway legend George M. Cohn. He dropped Bryce from the Broadway cast of Talk of the Town because she could not dance. To cover her disappointment, Fanny claimed she was dumped because she had too skinny of legs. Here's side three, Song of the Sewing Machine, on Victor 1927.
When I was young, a song was sung of a land that was milk and honey, where people were rolling in money, far over the billowing sea. And so one day I sailed away with a heart that was light and sunny. I came to the land of the free. I ask you, is this liberty? Summertime is just a lazy poet's rhyme. If you listen to the song of the sewing machine, all through the day a drizzling rain is playing upon my window pane. Every drop is saying there is no lover's lane. There is no song, there is no bird, and God is just another word. If you listen to the song, that's the song of the sewing machine. Sewing, sewing, ever sewing, going nowhere, always going, growing older, without growing. That's the song of the sewing machine. Tears, tears, and yet more tears, nights that last a thousand years, heartache for my souvenir. What am I doing, and what does it mean?
Machine. Funny Girl makes no mention of Fanny's friendship with Irving Berlin. His Sadie Salome Go Home helped Fanny break into the big time. Fanny was not in Brooklyn Burlesque when Ziegfeld sent for her. In fact, she had already made her legit debut in a touring Schubert Brothers production. Fanny first met Nick in Baltimore while on tour in the Schubert Brothers' 1912 revue Whirl of Society. Betting on horses under the alias Nick Arnold, his real name was Julius Arnstein. He used several aliases to cover his international criminal record. Nick tagged along with the Whirl of Society tour and returned to New York with Fanny and immediately moved in with her and her mother. He also began spending Fanny's money. Mrs. Borax saw through Arnstein's charm and distrusted him from day one. Fanny had Nick investigated and learned he was still married to his first wife. Hopelessly in love, Fanny pretended it didn't matter. She had to wait 7 years for his divorce to come through and married him in 1919, just 2 months before the birth of their daughter, Frances. Nick and Fanny did sail to England on the Homeric, but he didn't win any jackpot on the voyage. Instead, he shamelessly lived it up while Fanny supported him. And the trip was planned. Fanny never left a show to follow Nick. A Funny Girl suggests Nick's big mistake was selling phony bonds. In fact, he was part of a gang that deliberately stole $5 million worth of Wall Street securities. A tremendous sum in 1920. Instead of gallantly turning himself in as depicted in the film, he stayed in hiding for 4 months, leaving Fanny to face intense press and police harassment while giving birth to their son William. Fanny finally divorced Nick in 1927 after discovering he had been having an affair with an older, wealthier woman. Nick attempted to reconciliate with Fanny in the late 1940s, but she wisely chose not to risk dealing with him again. Critics frequently noted the pronounced Jewish flavor of her performances, and it is tempting to attribute a great deal of significance to Bryce's Jewishness, although she worked with a Yiddish accent for many years on stage and screen. However, her routines were only superficially Jewish and did not stem from any deep sense of ethnic or religious identity. A performer in the dialect comedy tradition. 6 months after the big show appearance, on May 29, 1951, Bryce died at the Cedars of Lebanon Hospital in Hollywood from a cerebral hemorrhage. She was just 59 years old. She was interred at the Home of Peace Memorial Park, but in 1999, her remains were relocated to Westwood Village Memorial Park. Here's side four, I'd Rather Be Blue, orthophonic recording on Victor, 1929.
I'd rather be blue over you.
known to you nothing but rigidness. Still, I'd rather be blue thinking of you. I'd rather be blue over you than be happy with somebody else.
For her contributions to film and radio industry, Bryce was posthumously inducted into the Hollywood Walk of Fame with 2 stars. The Stony Brook campus of State University in New York had a Fannie Bryce Theater, a 75-seat venue that was used for a variety of performances, including the 1988 production of the musical Hair, stage readings, and also as a studio classroom space. A truly popular entertainer, Fannie Bryce worked hard to establish a rapport with her audience. She did not deal with upsetting topics or controversial events, and people did not look to her for an evening of a corrosive social commentary. She seemed entirely in and uninhibited in her performance, and her name always meant laughter, hilarious antics, and great fun. A brilliant clown and a consummate professional, Bryce was a genuinely funny woman who turned to show business like so many other children of immigrants, and fulfilled the American dream. Thank you for listening. This has been Dead Wax, and I'm Sean, and we're going to catch you on the flip side.